Good evening. It's good to see all of you here this evening. We're going to go through a series called People of the Passion. And I think if we think about what Jesus did, I mean, all of his life, all of his ministry, everything that he did was about people. And I mean, he died for all people. And not only did he die for all people, but even as we look at the passion narrative during this Lenten season, we're going to see that there were people that were involved with putting him on the cross. So there were people that were responsible for putting him on the cross. There were people who were just simply bystanders. But all of his ministry, he was surrounded by people. And so what we're going to do in this series is look at some of the key people. It won't be all of them, but some of the key people that played a major role in either putting him on the cross or some of those bystanders that witnessed everything that happened to Jesus. And so tonight we're going to look at Judas. Now, I thought what we would do, first of all, is just see what we know about Judas. And so if I ask a question, if you know the answer, you can answer it, okay? So my first question is this. When did Jesus call Judas to be one of his disciples? When in the Bible did he call Judas to be one of his disciples? I mean, we know he called, right, Peter and James and John and Andrew, who were fishermen, but when did he call Judas? I'm glad you don't know, because we don't know. It doesn't ever say a specific time when Judas was called as a disciple. I mean, he just kind of appears on the scene with the 12 listed when Jesus sends them out two by two. So we really, I mean, apart from about those four fishermen, and maybe Matthew, they just kind of all show up on the scene as his disciples. There's not a specific instance given where they're actually called by God. All right, the next question is this. What was his occupation? I mean, we know that Peter, James, Andrew, and John, they were fishermen, right? What was Matthew? A tax collector? What was Judas? I'm glad you're searching, because we don't know. We're not given what Judas's occupation was. We kind of get just a little bit of a hint to possibly what he might have done. In John chapter 12, I'm going to read the first six verses. It says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given to Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. So, we know this, that Judas was in charge of the money that the disciples had. And so if we put a treasurer in charge of our church, are we going to put, I don't want to belittle any occupation because they're all important here, but who are we going to pick to be a treasurer? Do what?
Not a thief.
Not a thief, right? But we're probably going to pick someone who's had a little bit of experience with finances or accounting or running a business or something, right? We're not just going to pick anyone. So this is pure speculation, I know. But we're allowed to do that every now and then because this doesn't change the story of the Bible. But there's a possibility that Judas was at least some sort of businessman, a pretty knowledgeable guy in running the affairs and keeping up with money. But the problem was he wasn't very honest, right? Because he used the money for his own means. And so another couple of, I guess one more thing that we know about Judas. Let me just ask you, what do you know about Judas? When you hear the word Judas, what is the first thing you think about?
Betrayal.
Okay, so we do know that for sure. In Luke chapter 22, now the feast of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priest and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. There's more money involved, right? He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. The title of the message was Judas the Opportunist, right? Judas was always looking for an opportunity. Here we see that he was going to look for an opportunity to what? Have Jesus arrested. And we know that's exactly what happened. The Passover comes. Jesus is celebrating the Passover with the disciples. After the Passover, he institutes the Lord's Supper, and then he goes out to the Garden of Gethsemane. And at some point, Judas leaves the crowd and shows up with another crowd from the chief priest to arrest Jesus. And he betrays him with a kiss. Most of us probably remember that detail in the Bible. But he was always looking for an opportunity. And I know some of this is speculation, but why do you think Judas even followed Jesus for as long as what he did? And you know, you think about that, and someone who's always looking to advance his own self, you might think, well, Jesus was a pretty popular guy at first. I mean, when he came on the scene, people started following him, and he was really the guy to be around. He was healing people. And Judas might have thought, hey, this is an opportunity for me to even look good. Now, I know all of that is kind of a speculation, but it would make sense because who was Judas concerned about? Judas. Yeah. And you know, sometimes we can probably be pretty harsh with Judas, right? We can ask questions. Why in the world would he do that? How could he do that? Why is he doing all these things? What does he think he's going to get out of this? How does he think he's going to get away with that? But as we think about this, aren't we a lot of times similar? I mean, don't we think about ourselves quite a bit? I mean, even in the area of finances, we're always wanting more. We're trying to get ahead. We're wanting more. And just like Judas, sometimes we're willing to step on people. We're willing to hurt people and to get what we want. And it doesn't even have to be necessarily in the area of finances. Whatever it is that we're struggling with or whatever it is that we're wanting to attain, we'll climb over anyone. We'll stomp anyone into the ground to get there or to get it. And that's really what Judas was doing. We come to find out he really didn't care that much about Jesus' ministry. All he was wanting was to advance himself, to accumulate more wealth. We do know in the end it It didn't really turn out real good for Judas. I mean, Judas, once Jesus is handed over to be crucified, we're actually told that Judas felt remorse. He actually goes back to the chief priest and tries to give them the money back, and they basically say, no, he's your responsibility. And so Judas throws the money back at them. I mean, he doesn't want it. So you get this sense of remorse on Judas, but then we know that he did go out, and Scripture says he went out and hung himself. Now, I know a lot of people would probably say Judas will not be in heaven. But I'm not going to say that. You know why? Because I'm going to let God be God, not me. But we do know that when Jesus died on that cross, he died for the sins of Judas. He died for your sins. He died for every single person's sins. The redemption that he won on the cross was for Judas. The redemption that he won on the cross was for you, for everybody. And sometimes it's hard to wrap our minds around that, but Jesus died for the sins of every single person in the world. Now, will every single person in the world be saved? No. But it's because they will reject what Jesus did for them. But what I want us to understand here tonight, that we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to know that Jesus died for us. We have an opportunity to know that He gives us opportunities to share His incredible love with the people around us. That's what Jesus wants us to focus on. He wants us to take advantage of those opportunities, not opportunities to gain what we want, to consume ourselves with ourselves. He wants us to look at the opportunities that He gives us each and every day. First of all, to know that He died for us. And second, to know that we have the opportunity to work in other people's lives. That we find those people who are hurting, that we find those people who are reaching out to us so that we can share Jesus' love with them. That's the opportunities that He wants us to use. And I pray that as we go through this Lenten season, as we look at these different people, that they give us a reminder of what we can focus on during this time. And understanding this evening that the cross on your forehead, the ashes, we're all sinful. It doesn't matter how we try to weasel out of things or try to make sense of things or try to think we're better than someone else. We are all on the same plane. Sinful people deserving of death. But the cross reminds us that as believers in Jesus, we have forgiveness in life. And so I pray that as we continue to go through this Lenten season, as we journey to the cross, that Easter Sunday will certainly be a celebration of life and forgiveness that Jesus has won for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come to You this evening, and first of all, simply thanking You that we have the opportunity to be here in the middle of the week to once again focus our attention to You. Lord, to be refreshed here this evening so that we feel like we can go through the end of the week. Lord, we just ask that we continue to realize the importance that You play in our lives and that You bring us forgiveness in life even when we mess up. You're there to pick us up and to reassure us of Your love for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.